Hello, Razor community, and welcome to another episode of the Razor Sharp Show. Matt, we're joined today by Matt for this raw edition, which we can't edit that out. First time stuff up, Matt. Welcome.
Finally, you've stuffed it up as well. I'm not the only one to stuff up an intro. Raw edition, Razor community, as you know. We don't edit anything out, and sometimes it can cause a bit of trouble, but most of the time it's funny more than anything. Ray, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. And awesome. Got to get back onto the track and, you know, all good. But, you know, the last couple of weeks have been really interesting because we've been exploring outsourcing and we've kind of gone a little bit public with it, and we're, you know, we're calling it our, you know, kind of like open sourcing our outsourcing journey. Have you had fun?
Oh, it's been so much fun. It's been, I'll try not to say inspiring, but the kind of insight we're getting into the world of outsourcing is actually making me more interested in getting involved, because we've had some failures outsourcing bits and pieces of business and that kind of thing. But hearing the stories that we have and have speaking to some of the guests involved, you know, with Outsourcing Angel, it's just kind of really motivated me to get back involved in outsourcing.
Yeah. And the more I'm reading, the more I'm watching videos, the more I'm chatting with Charlie and the team, you know, the more I'm kind of learning. Like, one of the things I learned this week is that 30% and more of people that are doing virtual assistant roles actually have a university degree. So, you know, these days it's actually like a career path. It's something that people are wanting to do as a career, is by working as a remote staff for Western companies and people in the Western countries, which is, you know, kind of blew my mind that people are studying to become virtual assistants, and, you know, they're developers with skill sets, and they're not just people who are unemployable trying to earn some money on the side to support their family. Like, they're actually career-driven talent and staff.
Yeah, and I mean, it's evident there's that opportunity there. You know, almost 40% of companies now are using outsourcing to grow their business. I was reading the other day, so it makes sense that there's, you know, a lot of full-time VAs and full-time, you know, people in that outsourcing environment that really want to contribute and get involved with businesses. So it's, you know, it seems to be growing and growing in Australia. So we're lucky to have, you know, Charlie as a contact and be able to pick his brain and get his experience and knowledge, and also put us in touch with the right people to learn more and share with you, the Razor community.
Yeah. I think that's what's been really, really great, is the fact that, you know, we've kind of been able to get a little bit of an exclusive behind the scenes. And in fact, you know, we're going to be joined shortly on this Raw episode with someone who is a current customer of Outsourcing Angel. And, you know, we've been able to tap into that behind the scenes kind of content, because we kind of were just at the right place at the right time and started the conversation and went, you know, let's decide that we are ready to start outsourcing our some of the, you know, moving parts of podcasting. And, you know, the funny thing is that most companies try and outsource to reduce costs. And like the article I've got here in front of me was actually research done by IBM, which says that 27% of companies are using outsourcing to reduce their expenses. And that's different for us, because we don't actually have expenses. We have our time. And if, you know, we were to think of our time as billable hours, which we should be as business owners and, you know, return on effort, then, you know, I guess we are kind of doing it for the same reason, but it's not like an expense that we're not paying someone locally to currently do our podcasting edits and promotion, and we're wanting to outsource it. It's actually like using it to free up our time so we can work, I guess, on the business and not in the business, or on the hobby and not in the hobby type of thing, you know, and we can start going and doing more exciting, cool things.
Absolutely. And so that's why we're bringing you a special guest for this Raw edition. We've got Mo from The Happiness Planner to give us some more insight into the world of outsourcing that we're very excited about. So we'll be back very soon with Mo. To kick things off, Mo, would you mind telling Razor community a little bit about you, what you do, and, you know, how long you've been in business and all that good stuff?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Mo, and I started The Happiness Planner in March 2015. And originally, basically, I had a blog, an inspirational blog, Mm-hmm. Have to tell the story. And it got to a point where, you know, I started getting a lot of followers on my blog. And so I decided to ask my readers if I could write about one thing that makes your day, what should I write about? And a lot of them replied and said that they want to learn more about how they could be more positive and happier. So I thought, oh, well, you know, changing one mindset or, you know, changing your attitude is not something that you can just read a book and then change overnight. Like, we've been a certain way for so many years, you know. So to learn to be more positive and cultivate happiness and the habits that, you know, help you become happier every day is basically you need to practice over and over and over until your mind is trained. So I try to think of, you know, like an idea that could help people learn to be more positive, and I came up with the idea for the happiness planner. So I started that back in 2015. Originally it would just paper products, and now we also have a mobile app as well.
Wow, rocking it.
Yeah, what kind of things are in the planner? What can people, in, you know, expect from it?
Yeah, so like you start with this thing called the happiness roadmap. Basically you answer questions that, you know, get you to think more about yourself, who you are, what you want out of life, you know, what success means to you, what happiness really means to you, and try to basically, you know, plan to do things that make you happy every day and try to learn to live in the moment and be more grateful and mindful. And yeah, like everyone that used the planner pretty much says that, you know, they've become a lot happier.
Love it. That's fantastic. So I guess one of the things that we want to kind of cover off is because, you know, what are some of the moving parts in your business that you are actually successfully outsourcing, and what are the tasks that people are doing for you?
Yeah. So initially when I first started, it was just, you know, it was just a one woman show for like a year and a half. So I outsourced quite a few things like admin stuff, you know, accounting, putting together like a list of quotes and a list of, you know, like research as well, basic marketing research, a little bit of design as well. Yeah, just bits and pieces of the work, and then I kind of put them all together.
Yeah, and so were you outsourcing to like different talent, or were you finding someone who could kind of know a lot about all those different tasks?
Yeah, just different talents, because I think, you know, everyone specializes in something. So, you know, design, I would outsource just to one person, and admin stuff, I would just, you know, something that's quite easy. So I would go through, you know, outsourcing company that could help me find like people to do basic admin tasks for me.
And how did you know what to outsource? Like, did you have to do an exercise, or did you have to mind map things? Like, how did you know what to delegate? Was it things that was causing you pain and you were kind of just overdoing it?
Yeah, initially it was quite hard, you know, because especially being an entrepreneur, you're used to doing everything on your own.
Yeah.
And so I guess in the beginning I wanted to outsource the easiest tasks, right? The tasks that are repetitive and probably don't require a lot of brain, just not a lot of thinking, you know, like you could just go on the internet and search and put things together, like spreadsheet and all that, and stuff that takes me a lot of time. And yeah, so I outsourced that task first.
Awesome. Awesome. So yeah, just like the non, like would you outsource critical path things like from start to finish, or would you kind of just outsource, you know, micro tasks that will help you finish a big project?
It depends. I think initially it would just be more like admin stuff. And then, you know, there would be tasks where I need people with special skills, like design, for example, like when I, you know, wanted to develop an app, like I had to find an app designer who's really good. Like I've seen his portfolio and he's done amazing, you know, UX, UI design before. So I went to him, like, and I think that was quite challenging. Like, I think I talked to like a few people before I finally found someone that I felt had the style that I want.
Love that, love that. And I love the fact that you've kind of covered off that, you know, working with a company like Outsourcing Angel where it can be scalable. So as you come up with a new project, like an app idea, you can then kind of outsource that part that's not, you know, going to be something that's all the time, but as you need certain talent, you can kind of turn them on and turn them off and move the resources around.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing about Outsourcing Angel, like, because, you know, you could just go to them whenever you need some help with something, and then when you don't, then you don't need to hire them. So you don't have to feel bad, like, you know, hiring people and letting them go. So at least it's kind of on off. And another thing that I like is also, you know, you own the copyrights as well. Like sometimes if you hire someone, like, I don't know, it depends, but like a lot of time if you hire someone, you know, with a, like quite famous or with a lot of credibility on their hands, like they would want to be credited for it. But sometimes you just want to own the copyright, you know what I mean? Because that's essentially your work. So
yeah, that's a good point. You know, holding on to that intellectual property or the like the design work or the output is actually, you know, owned by you and not the person doing the work, and then maybe they might sell that code off to someone else and things like that. So that's a really good point and something that I haven't really thought about. Matt, I don't know about yourself, but, you know, obviously we're looking to outsource the show's being edited. We want to make sure that we own that intellectual property and not that it becomes someone else's. So that's a really good point.
Yeah, like editing, you know, podcasts is probably something that's quite tedious. And I think, yeah, you could easily outsource someone to do it. So you could save time and focus on other things as well.
Perfect. Love it.
I wanted to ask you, would you mind walking us through a little bit of, I guess, the beginning stages of going through that outsourcing process? Like, how did you go about, you know, writing a brief that, you know, they could understand? And I guess, how did you bring them in to your business to make sure that it was going to be a good working relationship moving forward?
I think it just, you know, I think with, it depends, right? If it's it's admin tasks, it's probably quite easy. But I think the more specific you can be, the better. For example, like initially I hired some admin people to do to help me find quotes like for different things. And so I have to like give them examples, you know, tell them exactly what I'm looking for and give them examples of where they could find it. And I think, you know, the more specific you can be with the steps and everything that you need, the better. But I think with, you know, like something like photography and design, I think everyone has their own style, and you just really have to find someone that has a similar style as you. I think that's one thing that I find with creatives.
Yeah, no, and I like in there as well that, you know, you're giving examples of things you like, and you kind of set the tone for them as well. So then at least they've got something to work from and they're not kind of guessing from the start. So I really like that, you know, those couple of tips of be specific and give examples, you know, where you can. And how have you found, I guess, managing, building in that management of, you know, the VA or, you know, the person that you're outsourcing work to into your day-to-day business? Like, do you check in with them every day, or do you set some tasks once a week and then get like a results report? You know, coming into it with a beginner's mindset, for those who have never outsourced something, how does that day-to-day management of the person work exactly, or how have you found it to work?
For me, I'm not like, I don't like micromanaging, and like I don't actually enjoy managing people. So I usually just, you know, just tell them what exactly I want and then just ask them when they think they could finish it. And then, you know, they just usually they do like a few examples and show me and see if I like what, you know, what they're doing. If I do, then they just go ahead with the same style or format that they do. Yeah, so usually I do it like that. Like, I don't really micromanage people. I just tell them what I want and then ask them if they could give me a rough time for when they could finish it. Yeah.
And are you using tools or apps to help you with that communication, or you're doing it all via email or Skype? Like, how do you stay in contact with everyone and know what's kind of going on?
Yeah, I use Slack. Initially, when it was just like one or two person, it was more like, you know, Facebook Messenger or email, but now it's more like a group thing. So I want to keep everything on Slack.
Right. And talking about numbers, how many people have you got working for you behind the scenes?
At the moment, I've hired a lot of people earlier this year because we've expanded. So
awesome.
Now we've got 6 people now.
Wow.
And they're all over the world.
Yeah, cool. So whereabouts are they all from?
So two are from Well, one is from Italy, but based in Paris. One is from Switzerland. One is from Mexico. One's from Portugal. One's from Australia. I don't know how many is that now.
Awesome. And so how do you deal with all the time zones and things like that? I think that's like probably something that I haven't really thought about until now hearing you talk about that. Like, how do you deal with all the time zones, and do you need to be up kind of like around the clock to answer questions and stuff, or?
Not really. So like I'm super flexible. I'm just kind of like, you can work at any hours like you want, as long as you treat it as full time. And as long as you, yeah, like that's you know, you can start at 12 o'clock and finish at, you know, 8 p.m. or you can start in the morning, have a little gap in the afternoon, you work again at night. Like, like I just give them the freedom to manage their time. But, you know, I have, like, we have established like a certain level of trust already, you know, with the people that I've hired. So I trust that they do the work. And if I don't feel like the work's being done, then, you know, I chat with them and ask them what they've been up to. And sometimes you have to let some people go if things don't go as planned.
And so have you had many, because one of the things we wanted to kind of chat about was, you know, we often hear that there's horror stories where people have to go through like 10, 15, 20 staff members before they find someone that can do the job competently. Like, what's your turnover like using like a company like Outsourcing Angel? Has it been good, or is there still some horror stories, or?
I mean, at the moment, I'm only using one person that I, you know, got from Outsourcing Angel.
Cool.
And he's like a designer and he's pretty good. And like I said, like it's pretty hard to find someone with the same style as you or understand your style. Because the last thing I want is to, I see it kind of like music, right? If you like, let's say a certain type of genre, it's just hard to get another person who like a different genre to feel like your type of music sounds good. Mm. So I feel that's the same with design. So with that, it's good. Like I think, because I'm pretty close to the founder of Outsourcing Angel. And so like when I found that designer, like I just keep working with him, like he's pretty good. But with the other staff that I got, not from Outsourcing Angel, I think, you know, a lot of them, I know them already, or they're friends with the staff that I hired initially, like the existing staff. So I kind of have a level of trust in them.
Yeah, awesome. That's great.
What's on the horizon for the Happiness Planet? Like you said, you've experienced quite a bit of growth. Do you anticipate that's going to continue for the rest of this year? And do you think you'll be in a position to, you know, hire, you know, outsource more work?
Yeah. So, well, at the moment, this year we started doing, you know, the Happiness Planner in French, German, Portuguese, Spanish, and we're going to do it in Chinese and Japanese as well. So that's why I hired a bunch of people in Europe.
Yeah. Wow.
So I guess what's on the horizon? We've expanded to Australia as well. We just launched our Australia website. So yeah, definitely looking to hire more people to focus on, you know, these new markets. And we're launching a subscription box as well. So if that goes really well, then I'll need someone to help me manage that.
Well, is this a physical subscription box or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Inspirational stationery. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Cool. Very cool. And so I wanted to, you know, because obviously you're a good experience of someone who's hired, you know, outside of Outsourcing Angel, but also inside. Like, what are some of the distinctions or some of the key points of differences that you found by going through like Outsourcing Angels as opposed to doing it yourself?
Yeah, I mean, for doing it myself, it was more like, you know, I want someone on like a constant basis. I'm like, you know, that person I want to hire every month. But with Outsourcing Angel, it's kind of, the good thing is, you know, sometimes I need help with certain things and it's like on and off. And that's when I go to Outsourcing Angel. It's like, oh, I need someone for this month and then not the other month. And then you just top up the hours as you go. So I think that's the good thing about it.
I love that scalability, you know, because obviously coming from the startup world and lean startup, it's all about how do you scale. And it sounds like, you know, that's something where you can turn things on and off and, you know, move the resources from a designer to a developer and then to like someone to help promote your app and things like that. So I love the fact that you're, you know, sharing the fact that it can be all scalable and, you know, something again that I haven't really thought about is that, you know, we could possibly have packages of hours, but then use them every month for different types of services. Like maybe it's not just about finding our podcast editor, but it's about finding someone to promote it and doing artwork and writing show notes and things like that. So cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, love that. Love that. So one of the things that kind of comes up as well is like training. Like I think it's one of those things where it's like people feel like they have to keep repeating the same kind of task. So how have you found the training side of things? Is it been like a big learning curve for people to learn, or is it been something that people kind of just get off the bat?
Training staff.
Well,
because all of my staff are remote. What I do is, like I said, I don't really enjoy managing people. So I usually teach one of the girls who's like my number one girl. And I teach her, you know, how to do something, and I ask her to teach the other people. And she really enjoys managing people. Like she wanna grow her leadership skills. So I'm like, yeah, that's perfect for me.
So you've kind of like outsourced training. So
yeah. <that's> pretty cool. Yeah, pretty much. Like, and she like creates like documents, like how-to documents and everything. I'm like, yeah, that's great.
Wow, that's pretty clever. I love that idea. You know, you kind of and then, you know, they kind of just, you know, if something doesn't work out, they can just kind of rinse and repeat and teach someone else. Or, you know, it's also good too as a bit of a backup plan to kind of know that you've got someone else in the business that kind of understands what's going on, so you know you can take holidays and you can kind of be a bit more relaxed and not know that, you know, you're so needed in the business for the day-to-day activities.
Yeah, definitely.
And Mo, I guess before we, you know, wrap up this Raw edition and appreciate you coming on to share your experiences with Outsourcing Angel, for, you know, those of Razor community who are listening right now and they're still on the fence, they haven't decided that they're going to check out Outsourcing Angel and see what they can outsource from their business because they're worried about how much time it'll take and, you know, the other horror stories. Do you have any like final piece of advice to them? And I guess to reframe the question a little bit, like what benefits do you see to outsourcing and why should someone consider at least trying it?
Yeah, well, how I see it is, you know, how much my time is worth. Like, let's say just hypothetically, if you think your time per hour is worth $100, but you can, you know, hire someone to do the same job for say $15 an hour, then, you know, why don't you hire someone else to do that job and then you can focus on other things? If you're busy and you have a lot on your plate and you need to free up your time so that you can get more things done. I think that's basically how I do the math.
Yeah, I love that because a lot of business owners don't put a price on their time. They, you know, they're working every day and they just think they're not, you know, it's not billed, but really, you know, it is. So I think that's a really important thing is to, you know, bill, you know, put money towards your time and outsource the tasks that you don't need to be doing and working on other tasks.
Yeah, because I think what a lot of people don't think about is basically opportunity cost, you know, like the cost that you waste by not, you know, outsource it and you know, kind of double or triple your time and productivity. Because, you know, you just need to consider the opportunity cost as well. And sometimes when hiring someone new, you just think about, you know, your revenue and also, you know, if – I don't know, I kind of think, you know, it's like an investment, right? You might see that you invest, say, you know, $1,000 more or $2,000 more per month on, you know, hiring staff or outsourcing tasks to someone, but then that could bring you in, let's say, you know, $10,000 more. So, you know, it's worth it that way. You just have to do the math. Yeah.
I love that thinking, you know, doing tasks that's actually going to bring money in, you know, gets you in front of a joint venture partner and you didn't close a $10,000 deal, then that outsourcing of $2,000 a month is kind of like a drop in the ocean. So I love that reframing of the way you think about that, which is great.
Yeah. Or even like, you know, for example, if I have two staff, you know, one get paid higher, one get paid lower, and I've got this job, right? And I just think, you know, if the person who gets paid lower can do the same job, why would I give the same job to the person who gets paid higher? Because, yeah, so it makes more sense to give it to the person who gets paid lower.
Yeah, love that, love that. Well, thanks very much for coming on to the show. I know the Razor community is going to get a lot of value. Matt and I have gotten a lot of tips and tricks out of this conversation, and we're looking really forward to, you know, kind of appointing a outsource angel to get our tasks done. Thanks very much for coming on the show and sharing your experience.
Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. Razor community, you know, we definitely encourage you to check out the Outsourcing Angel website. There'll be links in the show notes, but it's outsourcingangel.com. Think about how they can help you the same way as we're kind of open sourcing our outsourcing journey, and they're helping us. And as you can hear, a lot of other people like Mo. Until next time, stay sharp.